Inheritance. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the American Legion, presents a story out of that great composite of visions, struggles, and victories of the American past. Our inheritance. Yes, we Americans are heirs to a vast fortune. A fortune compounded of many things. Of a tattered army shivering through the winter at Valley Forge. And the voice of a great bell proclaiming liberty. It is a brave band fighting hopeless odds at the Alamo. The rush for California gold, Pike's Peak or bust. Let us now go back to a significant period in America's history, one which we all share in our inheritance.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear ye away, ye rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear ye away. I'm bound to go across the wide Missouri.
This is the story of the Mountain Men. Hugh Glass was one of that small band of shaggy, undisciplined trappers and visionaries who crossed the wide Missouri in the early 1800s to open the trails to the west for the first settlers. Today, Hugh Glass has become a legend, the inspiration of a great American epic poem, and the central figure of 100 folk tales of the Mountain Men. We bring you tonight a new dramatization of this classic story, a dramatization true to the heroic spirit of the times. This is the story of Hugh Glass, one of the first of the Mountain Men.
Pounds of beans, 4 bolts of cotton, 2 beaver traps, lead shot. Now, where's that lead shot? Jim? Jim? Robbie.
What, Mom?
See if your father's out in front of the store.
He went down to the dock to deliver cobalt stuff.
Oh.
Someday when I grow up, I'm going down the river and trap some beaver like the Mountain Men. Pop used to be a hunter, didn't he, Mom?
Some years back.
How come he never talks about it? Johnny Carver's pa used to be a Jay Fur Company. He never talks about it.
Well, your pa don't feel like talking about it.
Hey, Ma, look, there's a man coming. Looks like an Indian. Wears his hair in braids.
Now you run along.
I want to stay. Never did see such a fierce-looking man.
Yes?
This Jim Hooker's place.
This is his store.
He about?
No, he isn't.
He's gone to the dock. He'll be back soon.
That's so?
Hey, mister, you one of them fur trappers?
That's right.
Boy, sure do smell.
Robbie, hush.
Been on the trail a long time. This Jim's boy?
Yes. I'm his wife.
You don't say.
Is that their gun loaded, mister?
That's right, boy.
Are you a friend of Jim's?
Well, we know each other, ma'am.
Well, he may not be home for a while. Would you care to come back some other time?
It's all right, ma'am. I'll just wait. Come a long way to see your husband.
Oh. Well, I'll just go out back and tidy up, if you'll excuse me. Robbie, you come along.
Gee, can't I stay?
Robbie.
Oh, all right. Gee, Mom, I want to talk to him.
Now, you hush up and do just as I tell you. Go down and fetch the sheriff. Tell him to come to Jim Hooker's place right away. Tell him it's important.
The sheriff?
Hurry.
All right.
Liz?
Jim, thank the Lord.
What's wrong?
Jim, you got to get out of here.
What's wrong? You're shaking like an aspen.
He's here.
Who?
Hugh Glass.
What? You're crazy, Liz. Hugh Glass is dead.
He's out front. I've seen him once. You know, before you went upriver with Major Henry, I know it's him.
Let me have a look.
Don't let me see you. Well?
It's him.
Jim, hurry up.
No. It's no use, Liz.
Jim, are you mad? Run away quick before something happens.
I can't.
Can't? How can you stand there?
I've been waiting 8 years for this day, Liz. I run away once before, I can't run again.
Take a gun, then. At least take a gun.
No, I can't outdraw Hugh Glass. There ain't no point. I gotta face him, Liz.
Jim. Jim!
Hello, Hugh.
Hello, Jim.
We giving you up for dead?
Yeah.
I'm glad you come through.
I come through.
It's been a long time.
8 years, Jim. 8 long years. Got a nice wife now. Store. Son.
You aiming to kill me, Hugh?
That's right, Jim.
I reckon you must see it that way.
Any idea what I've been through?
No.
Walking up here just now, I started thinking about you and me and what happened. I says to myself, Hugh Glass, what brought you to this place to kill a man what used to be your friend? And I got to remembering all the way back, Jim. Back to when you and me first met up with the fur trade. You recall?
I recall.
We were just 17, you and me. A couple of fresh kids from the Pennsylvania farms. Yes, sir. We went into the fur trade for adventure, mainly because we were starving to death in the Depression in Pennsylvania. We thought we was far west when we hit the Great Lakes. First thing we done was sign up with old John Jacobs' outfit. 5 years of bondage. 5 years of living like animals, hauling them keelboats.
Allez! Allez!
Hugh, I'm done. I can't pull no more.
Just rest a while. Hey, you! Pull those off!
We need some rest.
My God, you pull or I gone broke your neck!
You and who else?
Alexey! Stop the oar!
You.
Me?
You are American, no?
That's right.
You signed on for Voyageur like everybody else?
I signed on for Voyageur, not for slave.
You got 4, maybe more years to work?
4 years and 6 months.
You not be very happy then. Why don't you shut up and pull over like Le Canadien?
These men been pulling for 6 hours now. They want a rest.
I give you a rest.
Go!
You, Gertie.
No, you. Sit down. The guards will kill you.
Why you don't strike back?
I ain't looking for a rifle ball in my skull just yet.
Maybe tonight when the boat stops, you'll run away, huh?
I seen your runaways with the brand marks on them. Oh, I reckon I can bide my time. Five years we apprenticed to that stinking outfit. 5 years of carrying 200 pounds on your back for half a mile at a time. 5 years of fighting Indians and guards alike. Then we got out and headed west. Remember that day, Jim, when me and you first landed up St. Louis and we was free men? St. Louis wasn't much then, just a few muddy streets and cattle wagons. We headed into the nearest bar.
Can I serve you, gents?
Yeah, whiskey.
You boys just in from the lakes?
What makes you ask?
Well, I seen them marks from the portage collars on your necks. Only way a man gets them is serving as human pack mule for old Jay's outfit.
They got marks on our souls, too, only you can't see them.
You wouldn't know whereabout he could find some honest work, would you?
I read in the Intelligencer that old Major Henry's recruiting free trappers.
Why would a man recruit free trappers?
Rocky Mountain Fur Company.
What's that?
About a year ago, Mr. Ashley, he was lieutenant governor of Missouri. Him and Major Henry decided to start a new fur company to buck old John Jay.
He must be crazy mad.
That's what everybody said. They went right ahead and formed her. And they worked out a new thing called the rendezvous system. Well, you know how old John Jay works. He establishes a fort and lets the Indians come in and trade their furs. Then he hires human pack mules to bring the furs down to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Well, the Major and Mr. Ashley, they decided to get maybe 50, 60 free trappers and send them out into the mountains to trap their own beaver. Then comes spring, they all meet in a rendezvous with their skins. Do the trading right in the spot.
No voyagers?
Nah.
How's it working?
Well, they sent one bunch up the Missouri last year, but they got fell on by a pack of Rickery Indians. Quite some few went under, too. Major's about out of cash now, but he's figuring to try again.
These free trappers, what kind are they?
Craziest bunch you ever laid eyes on. Independent, cussing, fighting. Most of them been in the woods so long, they're part Indian.
I take it nobody pushed these fellas around much.
You take it correct.
Well, Jim, what do you say?
Sounds like a fearsome venture, Hugh.
We're plumb out of resources, ain't we?
Yeah.
Well?
I reckon if you go, I might as well tag along.
Come in.
Major Henry?
Yes.
My name's Hugh Glass. This here's Jim Hooker.
What can I do for you?
We heard you was looking for free trappers.
I was, but I'm full up now.
Couldn't find room for two more, could you?
Sorry. You fellas had any experience?
5 years with the company.
Well, I don't need any trappers, but I could use a couple of hunters to get fresh meat for the party. Can you shoot?
You got a rifle?
Right there by the fire. 2 shotgun. Rifled.
She loaded?
Just run her down.
Jim, you got any coins?
No. Flat broke, you.
Here's a couple of 3-cent pieces.
Stand by the window and throw them out, Jim.
All right. Say when.
No. Nice gun, Major.
Yeah. Go down to the commissary and draw an order's capote and possibles. Then come back here.
Jim here and me always hunts together.
You too, Hooker.
Let's go, Jim.
Oh, and Glass.
And Major?
We got a right smart bunch of trappers going along this trip. You'd best curb that fight and temper in camp, or one of them might disassemble you.
I'll take my chances, Major. Come on, Jim. They had a right smart bunch of trappers, all right. Men had spent as many as 10-11 winters trapping the woods. There was Fitzgerald. You remember Fitzgerald, the long, lanky fella, Jim. Major himself is no newcomer, neither. Pennsylvania man like myself. Then when we was about 5 days up the Grand River, Major called us all together.
All right, you men, gather around now. Quiet and down! I aim to make a short speech. About here, we enter Blackfeet country and things won't be easy. We can't go over river because old John Jay has the Indians bought. We go overland to Yellowstone to make camp. After that, you each go up in the mountains to get beaver when the skins are prime. You'll be alone in hostile country for months at a time. Some of you are going to make friends with the Indians. Some are going to get their scalps lifted. It won't be easy. We'll have to travel fast and light to get where we're going before winter. Any man falls by the way gets left, understood? If we're successful in this, we'll be the first outfit to crack old John Jay's monopoly.
Amen to that.
We'll also show them that a bunch of free and enterprising Americans will always find some way to beat the slave trade.
And amen to that.
You bet.
We're all in this together, then. Glass.
Major?
You go out with Hooker and shoot some meat. We better fill our bellies before we strike out across country. No telling when we'll eat again.
So you and me went out 3-4 miles to hunt for some deer. You recall that, don't you, Jim? You recall how we crept up on some bighorn sheep that was underneath an overhang.
I see him, Hugh. A whole pass, love.
Yeah. If the wind holds them, we ought to get at least 2. Maybe more.
Both guns loaded.
Let me have Betsy. The 2-shot.
Here.
Quiet now. Leader's lifting his head, sniffing the breeze.
We're downwind.
He sees something, though. Look at his ears perk up.
Seems to sense something on the rock up over. You suppose it's... He's there to go.
Now, I wonder what in tarnation scared him off.
Hey, maybe there's something there. Hey, you, a grizzly, look out. He's gonna jump!
You!
Oh, he's near dead. I gotta build a smoke fire and get some help.
Well,
is he?
Not long for life, Major.
Build a travois. We'll drag him.
He won't last 5 minutes if you do, Major. His leg and shoulders near tore off.
Well, we can't stay here, Jed.
Well, you can't leave him, Major.
All right. We'll leave a couple of men with him till he dies. They'll be able to catch up with the rest of us. Any volunteers?
Yes, sir. I'll stay with him, Major.
We need another man. It'll take two to bury him. Who'll stay?
I reckon I'll stay, Major.
All right, Fitz. We'll blaze our trail. You boys do what has to be done and join us. From the looks of him, won't be more than a few hours.
Quiet.
Yeah, it'll be getting dark pretty soon.
How is it, Fitz?
Still holding by a thread.
How long, this boss?
Reckon that's up to the Lord. He ain't told me.
Hey, look, he's stirring. His eyes are open. Hugh. Hugh, man, can you hear me? He's shaking his head. You see, Fitz, he's got life in him.
Yeah, I see.
You look strange, Fitz. What's the trouble?
There's no trouble, Jim. No trouble. I reckon we'll have to stay here a while.
Who's there?
It's me, Jim.
Oh. Get anything?
Yeah, one stringy rabbit. I wasted my last shot to get it.
Better than starvation.
How is he?
Oh, crazy with fever. He's been talking out of his head all morning.
4 days now. I never seen nobody with such a firm hold on life.
Don't hit me, please, Bob.
You hear that? He's been talking like that for hours.
Ain't no man gonna do that, Bob. No man. No man.
Jim, step over yon. I want to speak to you.
Well?
We can't stay here much longer, Jim.
What?
We're 4 days behind now. No ammunition. Another day and we won't catch up with the Major at all.
We can't move you now.
I ain't thinking about moving him.
You'd leave him?
I ain't said one way or t'other what we'll do. I'm just saying we can't stay here. This is Rickery country. Them Indians just as soon as we's dead as not.
I won't hear of leaving him. If you want to go, go on.
We'll talk about it again tomorrow. We'll see how he fares tonight, and we'll decide.
I reckon you decided all right. Next day, when I come to, there was Fitzgerald, packing his possible into a capote.
Jim.
Fitz. Easy, Hugh. Easy.
Pain. Water.
Jim went for water.
You're fixing to move.
No choice, Hugh.
You're gonna leave me.
We gotta leave you. There's Rickeries all over the world.
I'll kill you someday. I'll kill you.
I'm sorry, Hugh.
You and Jim. I lay my curse on you.
So long, Hugh. Good luck.
Somehow, the Lord didn't intend for me to die, Jim. I managed to roll to a spring and get some water and then to get some berries off a bush. I must have laid under that berry bush for 6-7 days, getting strength enough to move. When I could, I struck out for Fort Kiowa. Tried to find Major Henry's party, but it weren't no use. Then I got into some misadventures with the Blackfeet and such. Never did catch up with you till now. But I'm here, Jim. I found you after all these 8 years.
Hugh, I ain't going to try to convince you what Fitz and me did was right, but there's one part of it I want you to know if you'll let me speak a piece.
Go on. I waited 8 years. I can wait another couple, 3 minutes.
Well, Hugh, that morning before you got your mind back again, I woke up and found you sleeping hard. I remembered because there was storm clouds blowing.
Look at them storm clouds.
Yeah.
He's stirring. I don't know how he's alive. It's 5 days.
Jim.
He's talking. Hugh, friends.
Jim, I'm thirsty.
Yeah, well, don't try to talk, Hugh. You save your strength.
Water.
He's out again. I best go down and fill the water bag in the stream.
Be careful.
Listen.
Them's rickery tom-toms.
Yeah, they must have a camp nearby.
That means hunters coming up near the water hole.
I'd best get down there.
Keep an eye peeled.
What is it, Hugh?
It's me.
What are you doing at the water hole? Hugh.
Hugh's dead.
Why?
He gave a tremendous gasp about a minute after he left and he died.
Now we gotta go back and bury him, I reckon.
Well, we don't dare. There's rickery hunters between us and the camp. I seen them. Come on, we gotta make tracks downstream where they can't follow us.
Well, it don't seem right leaving him unburied like that.
We got no choice. Come on, man, let's get out of here.
When we got about 20 miles downstream, we doubled back and up the Grand till we picked up Major Henry's blaze. After that, we traveled fast till we near caught up. Finally, the blaze was so fresh that green sap was dripping from the axe mark. There's the mark on that willow tree.
Yeah, less than a day old.
Yeah.
We'll be caught up by nightfall, maybe.
I never figured to see him again somehow.
Nor me. We done the right thing, I reckon.
Right thing?
Leaving Hugh.
Leaving Hugh?
Unburied, I mean.
Is that what you mean, Fitz?
Well, I said it, didn't I?
You said it, but there's something in your eyes.
Well, now don't get jumpy, fella.
Wait a minute. You're going to tell me what it is.
It's nothing.
Talk, Fitz. Talk, you dirty little...
Let go!
It's true what I'm thinking, ain't
You're
it?
You're crazy. Let go of my
He's
neck.
Alive. We left him alive.
Jim!
I can see it. He was living when we left him.
Yeah, yeah, he was. It was him.
Guy for hours.
He knowed it, too. He waked up for a minute. He heard the drums, and he said, leave me. Yeah. He give me his gun. He knowed he was dying. Jim, you got to believe me. That's how it was.
Yeah.
Listen, Jim, we done the right thing. We had to save ourselves. Look, we'll tell the major he died and we buried him.
Lies, too.
Jim, nobody'd believe us otherwise. You know how them trappers feel. They'd tear us to pieces if they thought we left him alive. Jim, tain't no use us dying after this. We got to tell him he's dead. What do you say, Jim?
I think maybe you and me ain't going to sleep so good for the rest of our lives, Fitz. Maybe we ain't going to sleep at all. That's the way it happened, Hugh. We went into the camp next morning and Fitz told him you was dead. I wanted to live, so I stood quiet. I reckon you're going to kill me now, so you best get it over and done. You're putting the gun down?
I'm putting her down.
But
I caught up with Fitzgerald back at Fort Atkinson, Jim. He told me his story just like you did, but I wanted to hear it from your own lips.
You ain't going to kill me?
I've been fighting and killing all my life, Jim. I've killed white men and Indians and buffaloes, and I've taken wagons through the desert where there was bones for 50 miles on the roadside. I've seen all the death and killing a man wants. It's gone out of me now. I wasn't aiming to kill you.
I don't know what to say, Hugh.
It's done with, Jim.
Pa, the sheriff wasn't there.
Come in, boy.
Yes, sir.
I want you to meet an old friend of mine. This is my boy, Robbie. Robbie, this here is Hugh Glass. He's one of the real mountain men. Take a good look at him, boy. You won't see many men made in this mold in your whole lifetime.
Someday when I'm growing up, I'm going to wear deerskins and hunt buffalo and Indians and cross the Missouri.
Boy, the time you're a man, this land is going to open up like a prairie flower. There'll be long streams of wagon trains moving along them trails that me and your pa and others blazed through the Rockies. Why, one day I wouldn't be surprised if this whole wide country from one ocean to other was all America. By that time, son, I don't reckon there'll be one man in 1,000 remembers that the whole land was opened up by a couple 300 crazy, wild, free trappers they called the Mountain Men. You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. We are privileged this evening to hear from the National Chaplain of the American Legion, the Reverend Thomas B. Clark.
The American epic we have just heard has, through the years, taken its rightful place in the great folk literature of our land. I have been impressed, as I know you were, by the fact that a spirit of forgiveness replaces revenge in the heart of the hero of this story. The spirit of forgiveness is, in a sense, a true realization that we are all brothers in the great universal family of mankind. It comes from God our Father, and if we will return to Him, the light of His Holy Spirit will continue to guide us in that way. As National Chaplain of the American Legion, I am humbly proud of the Legion's Back to God movement, which calls for a spiritual reawakening in our time, for a remembrance of the spiritual values which are the solid foundation of our republic. The American Legion, an organization of 3 million veterans, has invited all Americans to join this religious movement, which prescribes, first, a daily family prayer, second, religious instruction of youth, and third, regular church or synagogue attendance. The response to the invitation has been heartwarming. From every part of the country have come pledges of support, letters of appreciation, and glowing editorial comments. Americans have always been deeply religious people. Our founding fathers invoked the blessings of the Heavenly Father upon our land and our government, and today, when godless communism threatens the world, freedom of worship remains a vital American concept and practice, the endowment of our rich inheritance.
Thank you, Reverend Thomas B. Clark. Next week, Inheritance will take you on another journey through the pages of history to a time when Americans, dreaming of the future, forged that which we possess today. Today's story, The Mountain Men, was written by George Lefferts. It featured Howard Culver as Hugh Glass. Included in our cast were Parley Bear, Robert Easton, Alice Backus, Billy Chapin, Donald Lawton, Stanley Farrar, Gil Harmon, and Mike Darin. The original music was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Inheritance is produced and directed for the National Broadcasting Company and the American Legion by Albert McCleary. John Wall speaking. Tonight, hear Meet the Press with Albert M. Coles on the NBC Radio Network.